Alrighty, so the Holy Spirit, God's eternal spirit, was active with the Father and Son in creation. So, starting from the very beginning in Genesis, creation, also in incarnation. Can someone tell us what incarnation means? Was it referring to? Incarnation is where Jesus Christ came to this earth. Son of God became Jesus to come to this earth. And then, of course, redemption. And Holy Spirit also inspired which writers? Stephen King, the prophets, the writers of the Holy Bible. So, and also, he filled Christ's life with power. He draws and convicts human beings. And those who respond, he renews and transforms into the image of God. And that's what we're all praying to be transformed into. And that's through the power of the Holy Spirit. Also, it says, sent by the Father and Son to always be with his children, he extends spiritual gifts to the church. Okay, so spiritual gifts come from the Holy Spirit. He empowers the Holy Spirit to bear witness to Christ, rather empowers the church to bear witness to Christ, and also in harmony with the scriptures, leads the church into all truth. So the Holy Spirit does a myriad of things, has a lot of different activities that he's involved in. And of course, without the Holy Spirit, none of us would be saved. So we have to praise God for allowing his spirit to be with us and to abide with us. How many people are in the Godhead we studied about? How many persons, not humans? How many persons?
Three.
Okay, so three, and the Holy Spirit is one of those persons, and he was active in the world before creation and inspired the writing of the Bible. I'll read Genesis 1. Alvina, did you find your Bible? Okay, Lakita's gonna read Luke 1.
Yes, I found it.
Okay, Alvina, would you read, prepare to read Luke 4:18?
Okay. That
And
Luke 4:18.
yeah, and Karen, are you on?
I am, but I'm driving.
Oh, okay. Okay, Andre, are you near your Bible or no?
Yes, I'm near my Bible.
Okay, would you look up 2 Peter 1:21 for us?
2 Peter 1:21, sure.
Yeah, okay, and this is all talking about different actions and activities of the Holy Spirit. First of all, Genesis 1:1 and 2 says, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God, that's the Holy Spirit, obviously, moved upon the face of the waters. So there's the Holy Spirit in creation, the power and the activity of creation through the Holy Spirit. That's one activity. Lakita, would you read Luke 1:35 for us, please?
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Luke 1:35. And the
Okay,
angel
speak
answered,
up, please.
and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God.
Okay, that's very interesting. So we know, how is it that the Virgin Mary became with child?
Through the power of the Holy Ghost and the power of the highest.
Right. So that was the Holy Spirit activity in the incarnation of Christ. And Alvina, do you have Luke 4:18?
Hold on. Yes, I have it. Hold on, I'm coming. It says Luke 4:18, right?
Right.
Okay, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captive and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.
Okay. So that was talking about the Holy Spirit's work in redemption and of Christ's work on earth. So where did Jesus say he got his power from?
The Spirit of the Lord.
The Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit. And so did he have special powers that we don't have access to?
No.
Okay. Do we have the same access that he has?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. So what is it that makes a difference between what Christ did and what many other human beings have or have not done? What makes a difference?
Connection with Christ, with the Father.
Okay, the connection with the Father. Anyone else? What is it that allowed the Holy Spirit to work through Christ so much and other humans don't seem to have that type of power, even though we said we have access to the same power?
Well, we may not be as obedient or as receptive to the Spirit of God.
Okay, not as obedient or as receptive. Someone else had a comment on that? Christ always pointed to his faith in his Father as his giving him the ability to do miracles. And he also said that we too would have those abilities to perform miracles. It depends on our faith. As you have enough faith and as you allow the Holy Spirit to use you, then you too can do miracles like Christ did. But it's the connection with the Father. It's also the, he says, I've kept my Father's commandments, so being obedient to his Father's will and his way and allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us. And then we too can be powerful workers for Christ. And then also, Andre, if you would read 2 Peter 1:21.
All right. You said 2 Peter 1:21. Mm-hmm. Or prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Spirit.
Okay, so the prophets, did they make up the scriptures themselves? Did they think of what to write?
No, this was all driven by the Holy Spirit.
Okay, so as the Holy Spirit moved them, they put the words down on paper. Sister Harper, did you have a comment?
Yeah, because you know, you often hear different the religions say, oh, the white man wrote the Bible and stuff. And I'm like, where do you get that from? I'm saying, you know, in God, in the Word, the Holy Bible tells you that those men were inspired by the Holy Spirit and they wrote as God gave them the Holy Spirit gave them what he wanted them to write. But I never understand that. They always throw out that Bible was written by white people, and you know, and I'm like, no, you have to read the scriptures for what they say.
Very good. So the Holy Spirit did all those things that we read about. Works was active in creation, active in the birth of Jesus Christ, also active in the redemptive work, and as well as the inspiration for the Holy Spirit, the Holy Scriptures, rather. So when people get confused about the Holy Scriptures, is it because the Scriptures are confusing or is it because they don't fully understand?
They don't fully understand.
And they don't study to show themselves approved.
Okay, so the reason some people get confused about the Scriptures is because they're not inviting the Holy Spirit to interpret them. The Holy Spirit is the one who gave the prophets the incentive or the movement or the intuition to write the scriptures. So do you think the Holy Spirit would contradict himself?
No.
No, not at all. So whenever we find ourselves not understanding, or if we're in a discussion and we have a couple of different ideas going around, we need to make sure that we invite the Holy Spirit to interpret his words for us, and not we try and interpret them ourselves. We have to always be very careful of interpreting God's word for ourselves instead of allowing the Bible to interpret itself. Amen. Okay, now what other things do you think the Holy Spirit does for people? Just name some things you think the Holy Spirit does.
Comforts.
Yeah, comforts.
Teaches us right from wrong.
Teaches us right from wrong.
Warns.
What'd
warns us.
Oh, yeah, warns us. Convicts us of sin.
Draws us to Christ.
Yeah, so the Holy Spirit is not just doing one thing. He's active in our lives today. And as Revelation 22:17 says, talking about attracting people to God, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, let him that hears say, come, let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So if we really want to know about God, if we want to understand his word and his will, then we just have to ask the Holy Spirit to come into our lives and allow us to be attracted to God, to the love of Christ, and to a desire to do his will and his way. Are you able to see the Holy Spirit attracting people? Can you see the Holy Spirit going to this person and to that person?
No.
Okay. What makes you think that? Is there
well, see, I think first the Holy Spirit works on the heart, and I can't see somebody's heart. They can't see my heart. Only God and the Holy Spirit can see the heart.
Okay. Latita, you were going to say so.
I agree with Patsy and that the Spirit is not in flesh, so we don't see him. He's not visible to us.
Right.
Oh, and anyway, he's inside of us. The Spirit of God is within us, so we don't see it.
Okay, very good. And also the scriptures tell us that is use the analogy of the wind blowing. You can see, you can't see the wind blowing, but you
know it.
See the effects of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that way with the Holy Spirit. We can't see him going about doing his work. But when he comes into a person's heart, then we see a difference in that person. You know, so we can't see the Holy Spirit, but we can see his effects and his impact on others. Okay, let's look up a couple more verses and see what else God's Holy Spirit does for us. Let's see. Lakita, would you read John 16, verse 7 through 13?
Okay.
Yeah, Alvina, if you would read John chapter 3, verse 3 through 8. Andre, if you would read 2 Corinthians 3:18. And Patsy, do you have your Bible handy?
Yes, sir.
Okay, if you would read John 14:26. And then hold your page so you can go to John 15 also.
Okay.
Okay, Lakita, you have John 16, 7 through 13.
Yeah, okay, it says... Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world's sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come.
Amen. The Holy Spirit is very busy, isn't he? So he's convicting us of our sin and point and leading us to repentance and righteousness. And also, as well as we talked about with studying the scriptures, leads us into all truth. So without the Holy Spirit's presence, people are not going to want to repent. It won't even come to their hearts to repent. But with the Holy Spirit, which is why Christ left his Spirit with us, he can point out sin to us, and he can, I guess, draw us and woo us to repentance and to acceptance of Christ's forgiveness. So without the Holy Spirit, nobody would be saved, because sinful human beings wouldn't think twice about the sins that they're committing. Okay, let's see. Alvina, you had John 3, 3 through 8.
Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time to his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit."
Amen. Okay, so the Holy Spirit brings about the new birth in our lives. So when someone asks, how many birthdays do you have? You can say two. I have one physical birthday date, and then I have a spiritual birth date of when I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. And that only happens again through the power of the Holy Spirit, because we're born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and we would not even think of repentance. We wouldn't even recognize that we're doing wrong, except that God's Holy Spirit points out sin for us. Any thoughts about the new birth? Born physically and then born of spirit. Let's see. Andre, you had 2 Corinthians? Andre, do you have 2 Corinthians? Okay, I'll read it. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." So all of us want to be more like Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
We all want to be changed into his image. But that only comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. It would be nice if we could just change ourselves into Jesus' image, right? We could just do whatever we want. But that's only going to happen through the indwelling of his Holy Spirit. So don't let anybody fool you. And when people say, "Oh, I got to turn my life around," or "I got to stop sinning," or "I need to do this or that," it's only going to happen through the power of the Holy Spirit. So the first thing we need to pray for is God's Holy Spirit to come into our hearts and into our lives. Let's see, Patsy, if you have John 14, 26.
16 to 18.
John 14, 26.
John 14, 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you."
Okay, and while you're there, would you go to chapter 15, verse 26 and 27?
Okay, chapter 15, verse 26 and 27. 26 says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me." Verse 27, And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning.
Amen. Okay, so again, that talks about the Holy Spirit leading us into all truth. The scripture also says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So we have to, anytime we do Bible study, or we have a like this discipleship class, or before the pastor preaches, or you go to Sabbath school, you want to invite the Holy Spirit to lead you into all truth, because without it, we're just going to get confused, because God's thoughts are way higher than our thoughts, and we wouldn't even be able to understand his word without his Holy Spirit's leading and guiding us into all truth. So remember that before you study, always pray for the Holy Spirit's presence to be felt, and for him to lead you into the truth of God's word, as well as to lead you each and every day, right? So in the morning when we get up, we should pray and ask for the Holy Spirit to guide us throughout the day, to speak to us so that we'll know right from wrong, to point out sin, and to lead us to repentance. We have to continue to be start each day new. Every day, God's blessings are new, and every day we should start out asking for his Spirit to lead us. Any other thoughts on the Holy Spirit's activities?
But you know, Elder Carol, you said something that stands out to me, because we have people that think, well, all I got to do in case of an emergency, just say, Lord, save me, and the Holy Spirit will be there. They never ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide them. Mm-hmm. And yet they're like, that's automatically when you pray in the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, no. I said, I think God wants you to actually say, I'm asking for the Holy Spirit to be. And, you know, like I said, you know, I guess that's to each and every individual. But I just can't understand that when you hear Christian people, you know, and they say, well, you know, I don't have to even say the name Holy Spirit as long as I say God. And I'm like, I don't know. But in my mind, you know, when I'm praying in my prayers, I've always said, you know, God, let the Holy Spirit lead and guide me, or whatever. But it's amazing that people can pray and they just don't feel like it's necessary to put the Holy Spirit in it.
Well, when you think about it, the Bible says there's many spirits in the world, so you better ask for the right one.
Amen. Amen. You
just ask any spirit to come into your life. So be sure about that. And then also it talks about the Holy Spirit. He's always with us, comforting and helping us. You know, there's human beings. We are fallible. We're limited. We're mortal. We don't know all the answers. We can't do everything. But God's Holy Spirit helps us and comforts us in times of need. We've all been in a position where we just need some comfort, you know, and there's nobody around, but God's Holy Spirit can comfort us and help us to get through whatever trials and tribulations we're going through. Also, he gives spiritual gifts to the church. So I will read Ephesians 4. 11 through 12. This is talking about spiritual gifts. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So the Holy Spirit has given these type of spiritual gifts to the church. This isn't a list of everything. That's just some of them. But he gives these spiritual gifts. What's the purpose for these gifts?
To build up God's church.
Yeah, to build up God's church. Any other reason? Maybe we can use them to show off.
Unity. To bring unity. Because where I may be weak in one area, you may be strong. And when we bring them together, we come together in unity in order to uplift God in his holy word.
Very good. Very good. Can I use my spiritual gifts to get on America's Got Talent?
You can.
You might. Possibility.
What'd you say?
Are you going to sing the spiritual?
Yeah, maybe. Okay, yeah, the spiritual gifts are to edify the church, to help us all to walk in harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the things that we want to do is when we recognize the gifts that God has given us is to use them for his glory and for his honor. And everybody has different gifts. They're not all the same, and everybody don't have to have the same gift. You know, it seems like for a long time, people felt like the only good gift was either preaching or singing, but that's not at all true. God gives each of us different gifts, and they can all be used for the work of the church, to build up the church for God's glory. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11, it says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So they're all different gifts, but they all come from the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversity of operation, but it's the same God, which works all in all. So we all have different talents and abilities. Nobody has to do the exact same thing as the next person in order for God to use them. He's given us diverse gifts, just like he makes different varieties of flowers, different varieties of trees, different varieties of people as well. But we can all be used for his glory. And it says that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with it. For to one person is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Now somebody else might get the word of knowledge, but it's from the same Spirit. And then another person might have spiritual gift of faith. Another might have gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning spirits, diverse tongues, and the interpretation of tongues, all these different gifts. But it says in verse 11, but all these work one and the same Spirit, dividing to every man as many as he will. So are we only going to get one spiritual gift? Is everybody only given one?
I don't believe so, no.
It's according to the Spirit, so we don't know.
Yes, that's what the last verse said. He gives to every person as many as he wants to. And that's his choice. You know, as we use the talents and abilities that God gives us, then we open ourselves to his Spirit to allow us with even more opportunities to serve him. But the point being also, everybody has different gifts, everybody has different talents. And we want to remember that just like your body has different parts, they all work together for one purpose and one cause. So you have people in church who have all these different gifts, but we should all be working forward towards the one purpose and the one cause of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is there a certain, does anyone have a certain gift they wish that they had or would have liked to have?
I know I do.
Which is, Sister Patsy?
I wish I could sing because I love music, but I like hearing everybody else sing because they can really do their thing. And I'm like, but if I open my mouth, oh Lord, we be praying that they people come back alive.
Okay, that's a good thing. Anyone else? What would you desire?
I'm like Patsy. I wish I could. I wish I really had the gift of music.
Okay. Me too.
Everybody wants the gift to music. Anything else?
I would say the gift of I guess Holy Spirit influence on people.
Oh, okay. I tell you, my thing that I always thought would really be very nice to have is the gift of healing. And you could just, you know, if you could just walk through the cancer ward or the sick hospital.
That's true too.
Just
yeah.
Heal people.
Yeah.
And you
yeah.
wouldn't have to make a big deal about it. You just go to their room and then leave. And then everybody's like, hey, what's going on here? Everybody's well.
And
then you put everybody, the doctors, the nurses out of business. They're going to put you out.
Only problem is there's plenty of sickness in the world.
Yeah, they wouldn't even know it was you because you didn't tell. You're not gonna tell nobody.
Not even gonna tell. They just all of a sudden people was healed.
Miraculous healing. Yeah.
That would be terrific.
But You know, Elder Carol, when I was at Northside and we had Deaconess Pat Harris, she was there and she when your people was like, well, she'll pray for you and she'll anoint you with some oil. And so I had missed her that Sabbath. So later on that week, I stopped by her house and she lived up in the Normandy area. And she prayed and she put some oil on me. Do you know I didn't have no back pain for almost 6 whole months? I said, you know, and I kept saying, I said, well, I'm not eating any different. I'm doing, I'm still, moving around and stuff. I didn't have back pain for almost 6 months. When she moved, I almost wanted to tell her, you can't go nowhere. You got to stay here.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Yeah, I mean, she massaged you just a little bit. Her hands was all gentle. I mean, I didn't have, like I said, the Holy Spirit really touched our deacon because there was other people saying, yeah, I hurt my shoulder. And when she touched me and she kind of rubbed it and she prayed, I said, she just has a gift. She needed to be a masseuse, how they say it. Because, I mean, you just feel so good.
Man. Yeah, the scripture says if anybody's sick, call for the elders to anoint them. So, yeah, God works through people. He can do miracles on his own, and he can also work through his people. So if we are all looking for the Holy Spirit and asking for him, where is the Holy Spirit going to dwell at? Where does the
Holy Spirit dwell? Well, I hope he's going to dwell inside us.
Yeah.
Right. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So what does that mean for us in our body?
Be mindful
take care of it.
In our body.
Yeah, better take
you
care
don't
of it.
Profane the temple.
Amen.
You That's can't dwell good. In a profane temple.
Okay, take care of our bodies. Allow the Holy Spirit to live in us and through us. Be careful. What's that song say? Be careful, little eyes, what you see, hands, what you touch, feet, where you go. So we have to be very aware that we're keeping our body temple clean through all the different methods and ways that God gives us. And we surely do not want to grieve the Holy Spirit away. And, it doesn't happen just because you say one time, I don't want the Holy Spirit. God's not just going to let people just walk away. After one little thing, we serve a merciful God. He's long-suffering. He doesn't want anyone to be lost. But we want to continue to invite his Holy Spirit to dwell within us because it's through his Holy Spirit that we're sealed for redemption and for salvation. So let's
continue. You know, Elder Carol, we have a sister from Kansas City that goes to her pastor, Pastor Eichner, and she was testifying that, she was praying for her friend because, her friend health is going down, and she kind of gave, let her know, what you eating, because she said her friend was talking about going to have a big plate of ham hocks or something. And she said she was trying to, give her in a loving way what thus said the Lord. And she said it was as if, she heard it, but it went in one ear and gone out the other. And she said, now, she said, just to see her friend suffering, she's still praying for her. But, if the Holy Spirit is telling you this is not good for your body, or this particular thing you're doing, it doesn't necessarily have to be your body. I'm just using that as an example as far as appetite. But when the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you and they send somebody to you, you either are going to accept it or you're going to reject it. But he's like Jesus. He's never going to force it on you. But then you can't come back and say, nobody cared about me. Nobody seen me going through this and didn't even offer, assistance or tell me. And, like I said, I'm a type 2 diabetic. And when I hear, there's a seminar or something, or, somebody send me something, I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it. And I'm going to try to incorporate it to make, to make my body be much better. And asking for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me on how I do it, to make sure I'm doing, some of the techniques, like they say, make sure you get exercise and stuff. And I just thank God there are people out there that can see that something may be going wrong, and they have some suggestions for you.
Amen, amen. And all of us have spiritual gifts. If you've ever done a spiritual gift inventory, Would you mind sharing with us, anyone, what your spiritual gifts came out to be? Does anyone remember their gifts? I know that mine was teaching and evangelism. That was my two top ones. Administration.
Mine is intercessory, praying for folks, in evangelism, and just being an encourager for people.
Very good.
And people who are downtrodden. I have a heart for homeless people. Mm-hmm. People who don't have much. That's my, yeah.
Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Go ahead.
I remember one of mine was teaching, and I don't remember what the other one was right off.
Okay. The key to you, remember you are. Yeah, it's very interesting how all of us have different gifts. But the thing you want to do, if you have taken the spiritual gift inventory, which shows you what spiritual gifts God has blessed you with, then make sure that you use those gifts. You know, we always hear the phrase, if you don't use it, you lose it. Well, let's make sure that we use our spiritual gifts to edify and uplift the church and to point others to Christ. God has given us these gifts for a reason. And again, that's to point out his glory and his salvation to others who might not know him. So we want to always be careful, pay attention to God's Holy Spirit when he's speaking to us, make sure that we continue to communicate to God every day so that we can hear his voice and follow him and not be led astray by all these other spirits that are in the world trying to mislead people. Amen. Mm-hmm. And
Amen.
Holy Spirit is God's gift to us. We want to thank God for his gift. Recognize that the Holy Spirit's an ever-present help. He's always here with us. God has promised never to leave us or forsake us through his Holy Spirit. And we don't have to be discouraged. As long as we continue to invite the Holy Spirit to dwell within us, that he'll always renew our strength. He'll always guide us and empower us, just as he did for Jesus while he was on this earth. Is there any final comments about the work of the Holy Spirit? Okay, if not, we'll, Karen, what are we on for next week? What lesson? Okay, while she's looking it up, we'll go ahead and close out with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for blessing us with your Holy Spirit. We thank you so much for your Holy Spirit's presence in our lives and his activity in our lives. We ask and pray that you will open our ears that we might hear and open our minds that we understand and open our hearts that we accept what he has to say for us for your glory and honor in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Karen, if you have where we're at for next week.
Give me just a second. Let me look it up.
Okay.
I can keep talking until I find it.
This was a good lesson. It's good to know that we have an advocate. And somebody's paying attention in mm-hmm. every prayer that we have through the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And I think it's also a good reminder for us to ask. Remember to ask for the Holy Spirit to guide us. Because, you know, sometimes when your family members ask you a question, sometimes, you know, it's better to take a few minutes and meditate on that question before you just pop up and answer it. Because, you know, sometimes you can just about tell your family members, the ones who really want to know are the ones they won't call themselves, don't get in a debate. I told them, I can give you book, chapter, Bible, and verse. And if you read it for yourself, we can talk about it. I said, but it is not going to be no debate.
Okay, Lee, next week we're at Testimonies for the Church, Volume 1, and we're starting at Chapter 113. And paragraph 658.1.
Okay. All right. Testimonies 1, chapter 138, paragraph 658.
Chapter 113.
113.
paragraph 658.1.
All right.
You know, Michael, remember them numbers.
He's going to put in the announcements.
Yeah. By the way, if you're sending out a group text, I won't get any of that information. If it's individual that you're sending it to me, my phone seems to pick it up. But if it's in a group text, my phone won't pick it up.
Yeah, I remembered that, Patsy. So I've been sending it to you individually.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.